Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima right here on 92.3 The Fan. I'm Danny Cunningham filling in. He is Daryl Ryder, brought to you, of course, by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What are you doing?
I don't know, Daryl Ryder. Do you want to tell us why we're listening to...
My mic's falling apart. The music's getting loud in a reed. What's going on?
The popular group UB40?
Bad joke alert. This is my tribute. We could get QB40 on Saturday in Baltimore.
Come on.
I said bad joke alert.
Boo. Bad, very bad.
I spent zero time thinking of this, too, by the way.
When did you think of it?
It just popped into my head. Owen and I are having a conversation, and just out of the middle of nowhere popped into my head.
The UB40 light bulb that went off was amazing.
Because why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't that light bulb go off?
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing, right?
That's the best thing about this Browns team right now is that we can do this, Joe.
Yes, exactly. This was my tribute to the 2024/2025 Cleveland Browns, and the fact that we don't know. I mean, Kevin is keeping us in suspense. I'm sure that John Harbaugh in Baltimore is just losing hours upon hours upon hours of sleep,
shaking in his boots,
scrubbing through Dorian Thompson Robinson and Bailey Zappi film to get his team prepared to just completely annihilate the Browns. The point spread's what, 18 points?
I saw it at 17.5. I haven't looked in the last couple of days. That's what it opened at.
Do you know how bad you have to be?
Very.
To have that kind of a point spread in the National Football League?
I've got 18 right now.
It's at 18.
But also part of it is one team is very much playing for something. The other team very much is playing for something, I guess, in the opposite direction. But the players aren't playing for that.
So you have to put players on the field that will still allow you to achieve those goals.
Yes.
While also allowing your other players to play as hard as possible.
Well, everybody plays hard. Like, that's not the question. It's not that guys don't play hard. It's that the guys that play hard just aren't very good. That's how you tank. You don't tank by not playing hard. You tank by putting bad players on the field. And that's exactly what the Browns are doing. Who's going to start at quarterback? Does it matter who starts at quarterback?
No, it doesn't. And is it bad that I'm confessing right now that this season cannot end fast enough? I have never been happier to see a football season end faster than this one.
Oh, Daryl,
thank you, NFL, for putting the game on Saturday.
I was thrilled.
But also thank you for ruining my Sunday of football because it's locker cleanout day. So double thank yous to the National Football League. Appreciate that. I really did want it to be Sunday, buried at Sunday at 1.
That's tough for you. That locker cleanout day is on the last Sunday of the year when things do matter across the league. They just don't matter here. But Saturday is AFC North Day. We don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback. It could be Bailey Zappi, the 40th different starting quarterback.
Does Kevin Stefanski go Romeo Crennel and flip a coin?
I think that's the funniest outcome. I really do think that's the funniest possible outcome here. And I think it'll be...
Here's how this is going to go behind the scenes. Bailey, your heads. Dorian, your tails. Here we go.
Then when you flip it in the air, you know what you want it to land on. And that's really when you make the decision.
And I hope someone got the subtlety of that joke that I just made.
I do think that it's probably going to be Bailey Zappi, Daryl, and it's going to be ugly for everybody, but I don't know that it's going to be as ugly.
Do I want Bailey Zappi to be QB40, or do I want dumpster diving starting quarterback of 2025?
Bailey Zappi or Kirk Cousins? Which one would you prefer be quarterback 40?
Kirk Cousins.
Because I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy next year. Where my money is.
I would really like that.
I think the most likely outcome.
Nothing.
For the 2025. Oh,
I'm 0 for 3.
It wasn't bad.
I'm 0 for 3 on the
that
segment.
That wasn't bad. I wasn't focused on the joke, but that wasn't bad. That was not of the jokes you made, that was the best one.
If I can get one, that gets me up to 250, which might make me eligible for the Hall of Fame.
It's got to keep shooting, Daryl.
That's right. Shoot or shoot.
Well, it depends on what Hall of Fame. If your field goal percentage is 25, you ain't going to anybody's Hall of Fame. my money would be on Kirk Cousins being the quarterback next year. So do you want him or
I guess
maybe Aaron Rodgers?
That is such a prestigious honor.
It is. It's like a major award.
To be the 40th, to be number 40 on the jersey. I think that you need to save it for next year.
I think
start Dorian, let him play one series. But you know what? Here's the thing. I kind of feel like you just need to leave. Have you not watched the last 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, if you want to lose, Dorian Thompson-Robinson's your ticket.
Yeah, he's like, your man.
But that said, I'm not going to sit here and pretend as if I think Bailey Zappe gives them a better chance to win. I think they have no chance to win. I don't think that whatever quarterback is under center.
I'm worried that Bailey Zappe might give them a chance to win.
I don't think so. Not on this team.
I tried to say that with a straight. I'm 0 for 4 now.
Yeah, that one was bad. That one was bad. The Kirk Cousins one was the best one.
Okay.
But I don't think any of the quarterbacks give them a chance to win this week.
No.
And I think that's... You know, I don't want to say by design. If they wanted to win, Jameis Winston would be the guy playing quarterback, not because he's some great quarterback, but we know that he can get hot. Like, he can have a hot streak and...
By the way, I got to tell you...
And make that happen.
Watching Jameis throw in practice, boy, that shoulder looks like it's killing him.
Does it now? Does it now, Daryl?
Now I'm 0 for 5.
No. I caught that one because I can see your facial expression. People listening in their cars can't, so I would like you to expound
upon
that.
I'd like to elaborate, please, Daryl.
He just doesn't look limited to me. Now, I can't see him 50 yards away to see if, like, he's wincing as he's throwing. I can't see through his face mask in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, he looks normal throwing a football to me.
Do you think that he'll be back next year? Do you think okay.
No.
What is your best guess for the Browns will carry three quarterbacks. Every team in the NFL does at this point. Who are going to be the three quarterbacks next year for the Cleveland Browns? What is your best guess as of January 2nd?
Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and I put an asterisk on that because I don't know the mechanism. Is he on PUP, IR? Is he, you know, is it 52-man roster? He's allowed in the building because he has to be allowed in the building.
And I think,
like, yes. I don't know what they're going to do with that situation next year. I have no idea. Other than he's going to make $46 million.
He'll be getting a check from the Browns.
Right. But, you know, I kind of feel like based on what's available, Kirk Cousins might be the best option, which is like, okay, do you want a bullet to the forehead or two to the chest? There are no...
That's extreme.
There are no good options.
Kirk Cousins is a much better option than anything the Browns have had this year. Like, I understand Kirk did not go well in Atlanta.
Did you say Aaron Rodgers?
I started to because that
I
is,
should
that's
slap
a,
you for even
don't
thinking
want
it.
That, but that's a name that's been brought up. If that name has been brought up, I'm doing a disservice by not bringing it back up. Is that what I want? No, absolutely not.
Why don't you just give me some cancer while you're at it?
Well, that's dark, Daryl.
Reckless speculation.
I don't even know if that applies there. I just want to make sure that's covered.
I want nothing to do with that guy.
Well, who does?
No
Browns
one does.
Beat reporter Daryl Ryder want to cover next year.
None of them. They're
so
all
so you're
terrible.
Retiring.
Wow.
They're all. There's no good option here.
No, the option is.
Why I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they talk to Myles Garrett and try and sell him on whatever the heck they're going to come up with.
Well, what's the plan then? What is the plan that you, Daryl Ryder, if you somehow accepted enough friend requests on Facebook that you could work yourself up to being in charge of the Browns.
All right, so here's
what would
I'm
your
do.
Plan be? What would you sell Myles Garrett this offseason?
All right, here is my best. I teased this earlier in the show. So here's my best case scenario that I've come up with. I'm praying for the Patriots to win this weekend. The Browns lose. Browns end up with the number one draft pick. Browns take that number one draft pick. They trade back. They flip it. They get a 2026 first round pick.
From whom?
Any team. Doesn't matter. They need extra first round draft picks, okay? They tell Myles Garrett, here, this is what we're doing. We want Archie Manning in 2026. Here's how we're going to get there. And you basically build up enough ammunition that the 2026 season basically does not matter as far as how you finish. You'll have your first round pick.
See, I think when
you get
to that
extra,
point,
you got your extra pick in the pocket. You got some sweetener picks in the pocket as well. And you position yourself to be able to trade up to get the first overall pick in 2026. And you make it Archie.
I don't hate that strategy, but I do think that in order to have enough to trade up, you're it's going to depend on how you are next year. And he's going to be somebody.
I don't think the Browns are going to have any problem being terrible next year.
I would agree with that, but how do you sell that part to Miles? Because that's part of the pitch that matters. Because you can say, hey, we are going to do everything we can to not only win next year, because that has to be part of the pitch to him. It has to be. We're going to do everything we can to win next year, but we're also going to keep our eyes on the NFL draft next year when we want Arch Manning or whoever QB1 is. We're trying to position ourselves to have enough to trade up and make that a realistic possibility. Mm-hmm. But this roster still does have talent. If they find, say, Kirk Cousins, who had a bad year in his first year back from an Achilles injury, and do I believe in him a ton to be pretty good next year? No, I don't. Do I think he's going to be better than anyone the Browns had on the roster this year? Without a doubt, I do. They could win 7, 8, maybe 9 games next year. Like, that's not a crazy thing. I'm not saying they're a playoff team.
Did you look at the opponents for next year?
It's the NFL, though, Daryl.
There's maybe 4 wins on that schedule.
You will win games on the margins. That's how the like
the Browns, Cleveland Browns have won nothing on the margins this year.
The Browns will win more than 4 games next year, and that's going to make it more difficult for them to trade up and get Arch Manning.
I am holding you to that.
Go
for
it.
They're going to win more than 4 games next year.
You can message me on Facebook if I'm wrong.
Are we even Facebook friends at this point?
No, I don't go on Facebook. I haven't been on months. You don't request people. I don't request people. Of course, we're not friends. But you can find me on Facebook if that's what you want to do, or LinkedIn.
No, I really don't.
Connect with me on LinkedIn. Do that.
I'm good. I know you. I have your. I'm good. We have enough professional.
It's more than
contact.
Enough.
We're good.
Yes, but I think that becomes a hard sell to Miles. Is that hey, we, because you can't go in that room and say we want to be bad next year.
I'll take it a step further. Would you trade Miles Garrett for Arch Manning? If I can guarantee
trading
Miles gets you Arch Manning with the first overall pick in 2026,
because I don't know what Arch Manning's going to be. I need to see more of Arch Manning in college before I'm ready to say, hey, I'm willing to give up the best pass rusher in the NFL for a college quarterback that started, 4 games at Texas?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to see a little bit more. And the rest of that quarterback class, as of now, and these things are obviously subject to change, doesn't look like it's some super strong quarterback class that we're talking about here. Could it be good? Sure. I don't know. I don't know who's going to have a great year. Like maybe Dante Moore, who was a 5-star recruit, the backup at Oregon right now behind Dylan Gabriel. Maybe he goes out and lights it up next year and he's the top pick. We don't know, but I'm not willing to say, yeah, I'll give him Miles Garrett for that.
Here's my chief concern. Is I just don't trust the Browns to get the quarterback position right.
And that's fair. Because they haven't.
They not only have they not, they have passed on Patrick Mahomes. They have passed on Josh Allen. They have passed on Lamar Jackson.
It's hard for me to put that on the current Browns,
Andrew
Berry didn't make the... Deshaun Watson stuff, yes, but passing on the guys they passed on...
I'm not pinning it on the current regime. I'm just speaking in generality here.
And
this organization, okay, has no idea how to identify what a good quarterback in the NFL is. And it's been that way since the team has come back in 99. That's why I'm making lame jokes about playing UB40 to pay tribute to QB40 potentially starting Sunday in Baltimore. That in a game that really, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Other than the Browns better lose and the Ravens are probably going to win by 25.
Saturday afternoon can't get here fast enough because it can't be over with fast enough for the 2024-2025 Cleveland Browns. I'm Danny Cunningham. He's Daryl Ryder filling in for the guys right here on 92.3 The Fan. And now we go on out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to bring in Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. And the Plain Dealer, Mary Kay, how excited are you for Saturday at about 7:45 when this is all finally over?
Well, it will be nice to close the books on this very, very disappointing season. But in many cases, our work just begins at that time. So for us, for those who cover the team, it's certainly not over. We come home, we have getaway day, then we'll have ending press conferences, and then we roll right into trying to figure out who the Browns are going to have playing quarterback for them next season. So this is going to be a very labor-intensive offseason, but it will be nice to kind of close the books on this season.
So we don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for them next season. We don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for them on Saturday even. Does Bailey Zappe deserve the honor of being the 40th starting quarterback for the Browns since the team returned in 99?
You know, I would go ahead and do that. I think it's time to see what he can do. But they spoke very highly, Ken Dorsey spoke very highly of Dorian Thompson-Robinson yesterday and how they want to continue to develop him. And just in the little bit of time that we were there in practice, it looked like there is a chance that maybe he could get the nod again with Bailey Zappe coming in relief. So it's hard to say exactly what they're going to do, but if it were me, I would go ahead and give Bailey the start just for something fresh and different.
Who gave the best pitch to start yesterday, Mary Kay? Bailey Zappe or DTR?
Well, I thought Bailey was very, very upbeat and excited about his opportunity. And when we talked to DTR, he still seemed, I don't know what word I would use to describe it, but he still seemed a little down about his first two starts in each of the last two games when he's turned the ball over twice. So I would say that Bailey maybe may have made a stronger case from a demeanor standpoint just at the mic stand, but that's certainly not the criteria for starting a quarterback.
All eyes with this team, aside from the quarterback aspect of it, are always going to be on Myles Garrett. He's had a really impressive season. I don't think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year again, but he has been obviously the best player that the Browns have, maybe the best player they've had since returning to action. But he made comments a few weeks ago about what his future might look like. What do you think the pitch to Myles should be this offseason, Mary Kay?
Well, I don't think they're necessarily going to feel compelled to, you know, make a pitch specifically to him. I think in their exit interviews, they will talk to him in the same way that they talk to many of the players about some of the things that are going to happen in the offseason and why things, the outlook should look bright for 2025 and why they hope to win and contend in 2025. I don't think they're overly concerned with placating or mollifying or whatever Myles Garrett just to make sure that he wants to stay, although he has earned that status to be able to do that. I think they're just going to conduct business as usual, really, in terms of explaining and showing what the plan is. And I think the plan is to find a quarterback who can go out there and maybe not turn the ball over a million times and play some winning football to complement what I think would have been a much better defense had they not been second in the NFL in giveaways this season.
So the quarterback is obviously the biggest question about this offseason. It's the biggest question about the future of this franchise. What's your best guess as of right now? I'm not holding you to this, but as of 8:24 on January 2nd, what's your best guess as to what the quarterback room is for the Browns next year?
Yeah, that's really hard to say. I mean, with the number three pick or above, I think they're going to have to look really, really long and hard at a quarterback with that top pick. I don't think there's any secret about that. I think that's going to be what they have to do. You don't hope to be picking that high next year or the year after that. So I think you have to very, very strongly consider one of these quarterbacks coming out in the draft, even though at this moment it's not supposed to be the strongest quarterback class that we've ever seen come through these parts. So I think they're going to have to do that, but they'll look elsewhere too. You have to consider, do you want to think about bringing Jameis Winston back? Do you want to trade for a veteran? Do you want to find a bridge quarterback that's going to be coming available? Maybe make a pitch for a Sam Darnold. So they do have a lot of options.
Joel Bitonio also has a decision to make this offseason, Mary Kay, about whether or not he wants to come back for a 12th year. He's obviously seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, mostly bad, mostly ugly. I asked him about how honest he plans to be with the organization about the state of affairs, and you know, he said that it's always like that. My question to you is, how honest do you think this organization is willing to be with itself about the state of affairs? Because last year, they, you know, coming off 11-5, they basically ran it back. Added Jerry Jeudy, ran it back. So how honest do you think now when they look in the mirror, they look at this team, will they be in realizing that some changes are going to have to be made?
I think they understand that they have to do the number one thing, and that is to upgrade their quarterback position. We know that they understand that. And if they can get that right, I maintain that that and just a couple of other pieces should be able to get them back on track. Even if you had plugged in a good winning quarterback this season, they probably would have kept things very, very interesting all the way until the end. So they understand that. And I think if you just utter that to Joel Bitonio and Myles Garrett, I think that will go a long way towards those two guys realizing that they could be onto something here next year. Now, yesterday when we talked to Joel, that sounded a lot to me like a guy very seriously considering retirement. But once again, his body aches. He's in the midst of a 3-13 season right now, probably about to be 3-14 season, and that is not the time to be making huge life decisions. He's got a year left on the contract. Maybe when things settle down a little bit and he feels a little bit better, he will change his mind. But yesterday, he sounded to me like he were almost leaning towards retiring.
How many changes are you expecting? We've heard that Kevin's safe, Andrew's safe, but what type of changes do you think could happen from a staff perspective?
There are always changes amongst the assistants. Some of them get coordinator jobs elsewhere. Some of them, their contracts are up or whatever. So I do think that there will be some changes in the assistant coaching staff. Not sure how many. Maybe Mike Vrabel will want to take a few people with him when he gets a head coaching job, and I think he will. You can't take someone unless you're making them a coordinator, so it's not like he's going to be taking Jim Schwartz, and it wouldn't be easy for him to take Bubba if he wanted to take Bubba Ventrone unless the Browns were willing to part with him. So he might be looking at a few other guys on the staff. He'll be respectful, though. Kevin and Andrew brought him in here. He's not going to raid their staff. But by the same token, there might be a couple of guys that he wants to take with him. And then there were issues on the offensive line. So I think that's an area that they're really going to have to look at. Mike was really helping out a lot with the offensive line. And it was a challenging, challenging year without Bill Callahan. So I think that's another area to look to for some possible changes.
Is there anything that you think that the Browns learned from Mike Vrabel having him in the building for nearly the full season?
Oh, I think they learned a lot. I think the players learned a lot about toughness and work ethic and practicing hurt and all of those kinds of things and playing hurt. He just brought some of that Patriots culture with him. And I think that was important because this is a football team that tries to make sure that their guys are healthy, gives them some rest, doesn't necessarily work them the way we've seen other teams work in the past. And I think he brought a little bit of a different vibe. And I think there were some other coaches that may have appreciated how he did things or wanted to do things. And I think in his next job that he will probably run some tougher camps and practices than what he saw here. But there are many different ways to go about it. The Browns made the playoffs twice with that philosophy, and Kevin Stefanski earned Coach of the Year twice with that kind of, softer philosophy in practices. And so there are many ways to go about it, but I just think he has a different vibe.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer with us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You mentioned the quarterback being the biggest question of the offseason, and with the Browns having a potential top three pick, I do think it's safe to assume they're probably going to lose on Saturday against the Ravens, locking that in, but drafting a quarterback could be on the table. Why should Browns fans trust that Andrew Berry is going to get this quarterback selection, whether it is the draft, whether it is a bridge guy, but why should they trust he's going to get this one right?
Well, he's never really had a chance to show who he would draft himself as a quarterback in this regime with such a high pick. Now, we know that they've taken DTR, in the fifth round. That, you can't really say that counts in terms of how it might inform what he's going to do with a top three pick. But I've said this many times on my podcast, on our podcast and different things, that I do think they should bring in a few consultants to help look at the situation. It's a very difficult, difficult decision to make. Even John Dorsey, when he had the number one overall pick in 2018, went with Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen and, over Lamar Jackson, although nobody knew what Lamar Jackson really was going to be at that point. But it's a tough, tough decision to make. And I think you can trust these guys to make it, but I would also get another pair of eyes on it.
I hope they don't spend another $100,000 on a quarterback study they're not going to listen to, Mary Kay.
Well, you know, you never know. I would think that they're going to marshal and use all of their resources to try to get it right. But I think that there are good consultants out there that you can talk to. Now, they did consult with, in the Baker year, Scott McLuhan helped John Dorsey make that pick. And really was all about Baker Mayfield. So they did do that, and that there is a precedent for them bringing in a consultant or consulting with someone about the quarterback decision. So even then, it's difficult to get it right. But I do think that they should use whatever resources they possibly can.
Well, they also did it in 2014, and they drafted Johnny Manziel. I'm not gonna lie to you. I am really struggling with whether or not they're capable of actually getting this right. We're on QB40 now. We're
right.
The suspense is killing me. Who QB40 is gonna be? And I feel bad, but I have zero faith that this organization is remotely capable of getting the quarterback thing right, and that is like the most critical piece to any puzzle, as you were just talking about.
Well, that was a different regime back then. That was a new general manager in Ray Farmer. He was overmatched in his job at that point, I believe, and you had a lot of influence from ownership and other people at that time during that year. That's when they were drafting the Justin Gilberts and the Johnny Manziels, and it just obviously didn't go well at all. So this is a different, much more professional, experienced regime, and I have a lot more faith in them to get it right, I think, than you do.
Do you think, Mary Kay, that Nick Chubb will play again for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I certainly think they will bring him back and hope that he is stronger next year than he was this year. It was a difficult thing to come off of that devastating knee injury, and he made progress each week, and you saw his average increase over the last few weeks, and he'll have even more time to rest the knee as he rehabs from his current injury. And so, yeah, I think he'll have a chance to come back and show what he can do.
You got dinner reservations at Federal Hill set for Saturday?
We do have a place in mind to go on Saturday night, so definitely not Saturday night, actually. Friday night.
Yeah,
so,
they play Saturday, Daryl. Come on. You cover the team.
I know.
You got to know when the game is.
It's been a long year.
It has been a long year.
Can't end soon enough.
Plans for Friday night, for sure.
Well, yeah. Mary Kay, enjoy Baltimore. Enjoy the final chapter in this version of the Cleveland Browns. I'm sure it's been an incredible journey to chronicle.
It really has, and it's not over yet.
It's not over yet, but mercifully it will come to end this weekend. Thank you so much for the time.
Sure. Take care.
There she is, Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com, appearing on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That is Browns offensive guard Joel Bitonio. I don't think he's alone in terms of being frustrated inside that locker room. Mary Kay said he sounded like a guy yesterday, Daryl, that is possibly playing his final game of his NFL career on Saturday against the Baltimore Ravens as the Browns wrap up this just atrocity of a season. I think he's got every right to be frustrated. I wouldn't be surprised if this is it for him. I know you know more about this situation than I do, and I will cede to you what you think about this, but just as an outsider, someone who watches this team every week and is not in the locker room, it kind of seems like this could be it.
Why would you come back?
I don't. That's the question I ask myself. But I don't have a good answer.
Other than he's slated to make some good money in the final year of his contract, why would you come back to this? This is a franchise that has gotten nothing right since you've been here.
I wouldn't say nothing. They've got some things right.
You're a premier player at your position. Six-time Pro Bowler. You've blocked for, I probably should have counted up the quarterbacks that Joel Bitonio has blocked for.
At least 25.
No, it's not that many.
20?
No, it's not. I think it's around 15, 16. I'll go back and count them in a moment. But, when you put your body on the line, and this is part of Miles's gripe, too. when you're putting your body on the line the way these guys are, you only get one career, you only get one body.
And it's only so long.
And you know, Father Time's undefeated.
Especially in this sport. This isn't like the NBA where LeBron James turned 40 earlier this week and then went out and played the next night against the Cavs and looked okay doing it.
Yeah.
You can't do that unless you play three specific positions in this sport. You can't do that. And two of them are kicker and punter.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, yeah, I'll be bummed if Joel retires. Stand up, first class guy, always respectful and honest when we speak to him. He's a high quality character guy. In addition to the fact that he is just so good as a guard. But yeah, why would you continue to want to invest in this organization?
I can't think of a good reason why. If you're a player in his position, I can't think of a reason why it makes sense to come back. Especially, it's not as if this is something that is most likely a one-year blip. I'm not saying that the Browns are going to be this bad or this dysfunctional next year, because I don't believe that to be true. But it's hard for me to see the future of them being really good next year. I think that 2 years from now they can be, but next year it's just tough for me to see.
I got news for people. They're not fixing the most important problem that they have this offseason. We just had Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer on, and she mentioned it. It's been the same problem since 1999, and it's the quarterback.
Yeah.
There is no good solution that's there. There is no franchise savior waiting in the wings this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Anything and everything they're going to do at that position is going to be throwing slop against the wall and praying something sticks long enough for you to be successful, a la what happened last year with Joe Flacco. They got lucky. Lightning in a bottle with Joe Flacco. Baker Mayfield, you know, he was able to start 53 consecutive games. He brought you stability at the position for a couple of years. You were able to make the playoffs with him before he got hurt, before the attitude problems kicked in and the relationship on both sides of that fence went sour. But, like, they just have not been able to get it right. And there's no fix this offseason. And I don't know that there's a fix the following offseason. I admit, I pulled that out of my backside. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm just,
I don't think that's a crazy thought.
You know, just pulling stuff out of thin air, trying to come up with something that's remotely plausible, remotely makes sense, remotely might be successful, because nothing they have done since 1999 at that position has borne fruit.
I mean, at times it has. Like, I think that the Baker conversation, it gets so misconstrued because of what has happened since, but we also can't act like he wasn't good at times here. Was he good all the time? No. That's why the Browns decided it was best to move on from him. But
had he been more mature,
things would look different.
And,
yes.
And had the organization been more mature, it could have worked.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't think that this was going to happen for him the way it has in Tampa here in Cleveland.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the Browns made the wrong pick there.
Right. And so that's what's frustrating, is when they've had opportunities to get it right. They messed up Tim Couch. I would argue they messed up Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield messed himself up.
I think
up.
Baker had a lot to do with that.
Again, it's a two-sided equation there.
But I think I kind of put more blame on Baker for that because of how that last season went.
You're going back down the road of the Jeff Garcias and the Trent Dilfers and the Josh McCowns, and like, there's just nothing good out there that excites me.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And it feels hopeless. Like, I would love to sit here and tell Browns fans, this team is going to turn, they're going to flip it on its head next year. They're going to go from 3-14 to 14-3. Why? Because you know what? Every other team in the NFL finds a way to do it except for this franchise.
Yep. It's who they are. At their core.
They are the Charlie Browns of the National Football League, and they can't get it right at quarterback. It's just, and we're, you know, I'm making lame jokes about UB40 and QB40 and who's the 40th guy going to be. And we're all on pins and needles. The suspense is killing us. Is it going to be DTR and the slop we watched the last 2 weeks? The guy doesn't even look like he belongs on an NFL field. Or are we going to watch Bailey Zappi? Like, I mean, just what are we doing?
I don't have a good answer for you.
And
I don't know.
I'm going to ask Andrew Berry that question. And you know what? He ain't going to have a good answer either.
That's how you should phrase it. Just phrase it. What are we doing? That's how
I
want that question.
I can't say what are we doing because I don't work for the team. But, like, you know, what are you doing? Like, what? Like, and I realize, like, he's not going to lay out the plan to us and tell us everything he's going to do. But
right.
Like,
nor should he.
No, but it's just like.
Well, do you trust him to get it right?
No.
Okay. That's
no.
All
I honestly don't want him picking the next quarterback.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Pick the defensive lineman. Pick the offensive lineman. Well, find the linebacker. Go ahead and give another safety $25 million to come in here and do nothing. Go ahead and do all that.
I don't
want him picking the quarterback because I have zero faith. He gave Deshaun Watson $230 million, and Deshaun Watson can't play. Deshaun Watson can't throw for 200 yards in a game, and a guy that was throwing out routes to his dad on a playground came off the couch and threw for 300 yards and 4 times in 5 weeks. Jameis Winston, who throws more footballs to the opposing team, set a franchise record, nearly threw for 500 yards, albeit in a loss. But this guy that you gave up 6 draft picks and $230 million to can't throw for 200 yards. Why on earth would I trust you? You drafted DTR, which again, I realize, fifth round pick. You're just throwing maybe something happened, but still, no, I don't trust you. No.
I can't blame you. I don't trust him to make the quarterback selection either. I don't.
And by the way, he was in the room when the conversation was had what to do with number one with Baker.
I will go to my grave saying the Browns did the right thing there. It didn't work out, but they did the right thing. That was the safest choice, and it didn't work. They did the right thing. I have no issue with that, and I have certainly no issue with Andrew Berry being in the room for that. I don't think he would have done anything differently.
And here's the genius of the move. Here's the genius of this move. Don't even know if Andrew's responsible fully for Deshaun. It's so ambiguous as to where the accountability for that god-awful move resides.
Is it Paul
D. Podesta's fault? Is it the Haslam and the ownership group's fault? Is it Andrew Berry's fault? Is it Kevin Stefanski's fault? Like, someone needs to be held accountable for that disaster, and no one's going to be held accountable for that disaster. And it drives me nuts. That is a move that totally torpedoed what was supposed to be this window of contention, all the pain and suffering that Browns fan had to endure, the jokes, the winless parade when it's 10 degrees below zero, okay? All that stuff, right? But there was hope. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. It was about just burning it down and getting a bunch of really good picks so you could draft Myles Garrett and you could draft Nick Chubb and you could Denzel Ward, right? You can draft these cornerstone pieces to build this team around. And they did it, and they did it well. And you get to the playoffs in 2020, and you were supposed to be in the playoffs each of these last 5 years. You got there twice. And you had 3 losing seasons, including one of the most epic failures, which is this year,
yep,
since this franchise has come back. That's what 1-31 bought you. Got you a Hall of Famer, 1 playoff win, and 2 playoff appearances. That's what 1-31 bought you, and you're back basically to where you started from. You still don't have a franchise quarterback.